Section 3. Empire of Songhai.
If you were there. You are a farmer in the Niger River Valley in about 1500. You're making your first visit to the great city of Timbuktu. You stare around you at the buildings with their tall towers. In the streets, you hear people talking in many different languages. They must be students from other countries, come to study in the universities here. From the tower of a mosque, you hear the call to prayer. How does the great city make you feel?
Building background. Timbuktu was the greatest city in Mali. But as the empire of Mali grew weaker and fell, the city did not. As a new empire arose in West Africa, its rulers recognized the greatness of Timbuktu. Just as it had been the major city of Mali's empire, so it was the greatest city in Mali's replacement, Songhai. The Songhai built an empire. Even as the empire of Mali was reaching its height, a rival power was growing in the area. That rival was the Songhai Kingdom. From their capital at Gao, the Songhai participated in the same trade that had made Ghana and Mali so rich. By the 1300s, the Songhai had become rich and powerful enough to draw the attention of Mali's rulers. Mansa Musa sent his army to conquer the Songhai and make their lands part of his empire. As you have already seen, Gao became one of the most important cities in all of Mali. The birth of the empire. Songhai did not remain part of Mali's empire for long. As Mali's government grew weaker, the people of Songhai rose up against it and regained their freedom. Even before they were conquered by Mali, the leaders of the Songhai had become Muslims. As such, they shared a common religion with many of the Berbers who crossed the Sahara to trade in West Africa. Because of this shared religion, the Berbers were willing to trade with the Songhai, who began to grow richer. Growth and conquest. As the Songhai grew richer from trans-Saharan trade, they expanded their territory. Gradually, they built an empire. Songhai's growth was largely the work of one man, Suni Ali, who became the ruler of Songhai in 1464. Before Ali took over, the Songhai state had been disorganized and poorly run. As ruler, he worked constantly to unify, strengthen, and enlarge it. Much of the land that Suni Ali added to his empire had been part of Mali. For example, he conquered the wealthy trade cities of Timbuktu and Djenne. In 1468, the rulers of Mali asked Suni Ali to help fight off Tuareg invaders who were about to capture Timbuktu. Ali agreed, but once he had driven off the invaders, he decided to keep the city for himself. From there, he launched attacks against Djenne, which he finally captured 5 years later. As king, Suni Ali encouraged all people in his empire to work together. To build peace between religions, he participated in both Muslim and local religions. As a result, he brought peace and stability to Songhai. Askia the Great. Suni Ali died in 1492. He was followed as king by his son, Suni Baru, who was not a Muslim. However, most of the people of the empire's towns were. They were afraid that if Suni Baru didn't support Islam, they would lose power in the empire, and trade with other Muslim lands would suffer. As a result, they rebelled against Suni Baru. The leader of the people's rebellion was a general named Muhammad Touré. After overthrowing Suni Baru, he took the title Askia, a title of high military rank. Eventually, he became known as Askia the Great. Religion and education. Like Mansa Musa, the famous ruler of Mali, Askia the Great took his Muslim faith very seriously. After he defeated Suni Baru, Askia made a pilgrimage to Mecca, just as Mansa Musa had 200 years earlier. Also like Mansa Musa, Askia worked to support education. Under his rule, the city of Timbuktu flourished once again. The great city contained universities, schools, libraries, and mosques. Especially famous was the University of Sankora. People arrived there from all over West Africa to study mathematics, science, medicine, grammar, and law. In the early 1500s, a Muslim traveler and scholar called Leo Africanus wrote this about Timbuktu. There are in Timbuktu numerous judges, teachers, and priests, all properly appointed by the king. He greatly honors learning. Many handwritten books imported from Barbary or North Africa are also sold. There is more profit made from this commerce or trade than from all other merchandise. Leo Africanus, From History and Description of Africa. Genée also became a center of learning, especially for medicine. Doctors there discovered that mosquitoes spread malaria. They even performed surgery on the human eye. Trade and government. Timbuktu and Genée were centers of learning, but they were also trading centers. Merchants from distant lands came to these cities and to Gao. Most of Songhai's traders were Muslim, and as they gained influence in the empire, so did Islam. Askia the Great, himself a devout Muslim, encouraged the growth in Islamic influence. Many of the laws he made were similar to those of Muslim nations across the Sahara. To help maintain order, Askia set up 5 provinces within Songhai. He removed local leaders and appointed new governors who were loyal to him. One such governor ran the empire for Askia when he was away on pilgrimage to Mecca. When he returned, Askia brought even more Muslim influence into his government. Askia also created special departments to oversee certain tasks. These departments worked much like government offices do today. He created a standing professional army, the first in West Africa. Songhai falls to Morocco. After Askia the Great lost power to his son in 1528, other Askias ruled Songhai. The empire did not survive for long, though. Areas along the empire's borders started to nibble away at Songhai's power. The Moroccan invasion. One of Songhai's northern neighbors, Morocco, wanted to control the Saharan salt mines. To get those mines, Moroccan troops invaded Songhai. With them, they brought a terrible new weapon, the arquebus. The arquebus was an early form of a gun. The Moroccans wanted control of the salt mines because they needed money. Not long before the fight over the mines, Morocco had defended itself against huge invading armies from Portugal and Spain. The Moroccans had eventually defeated the Europeans, but the defense had nearly ruined Morocco financially. Knowing of Songhai's wealth, the Moroccan ruler decided to attack Songhai for its rich deposits of salt and gold. The Moroccan army set out for the heart of Songhai in 1591. Not all of the troops were Moroccan, though. About half were actually Spanish and Portuguese war prisoners. These prisoners had agreed to fight against Songhai rather than face more time in prison. Well-trained and disciplined, these soldiers carried various weapons, including the deadly new guns. The Moroccans even dragged a few small cannons across the desert with them. The destruction of Songhai. The Moroccans' guns and cannons brought disaster to Songhai. The swords, spears, and bows carried by Songhai's warriors were no match for firearms. The Moroccans attacked Timbuktu and Gao, looting and taking over both cities. The Moroccans didn't push farther into Songhai, but the damage was done. Songhai never recovered from the loss of these cities and the income they produced. Changes in trade patterns completed Songhai's fall. Overland trade declined as port cities north and south of the old empire became more important. For example, people who lived south of Songhai began to trade along the Atlantic coast. European traders preferred to sail to Atlantic ports than to deal with Muslim traders. Slowly, the period of great West African empires came to an end. Summary and preview. the Empire of Songhai was known for its wealth, culture, and learning. In the next section, you will read more about the major West African cultures and how we know about them. But first, review the main ideas of this section. Then take some time to demonstrate what you've learned by answering the section assessment questions.